Welcome to the Gifted to Give podcast. I am Brother Gian. If you're new to podcasting, you're in the right place. I can't wait to share to all of you how wonderful God is as we celebrate the 500 years of Christianity in the Philippines. Good day, listeners. We have once again Monsignor Achilles Dakay as he will preach and teach to us the good news of the gospel for this Sunday,
July 30, 2023.
We have a great number of listeners, downloads, and interactions. We at Gifted to Give Podcast would like to thank everyone for their support.
We are blessed to have our sponsor for our podcast, Podmetrics. Thank you so much, Podmetrics, for the support, and I urge everyone to support them as well.
And now, without further ado, please join us in welcoming Monsignor Achilles Dakay.
Good morning to all of you. And once more, with feeling, we say, thank God it's Friday. This Friday is the last Friday of the month of July, July 28. And tomorrow, Saturday, is the feast of our friends, Saint Martha, Saint Mary, and Saint Lazarus. And this coming Sunday would be the 17th Sunday in ordinary time. So, to situate ourselves, we are still within the so-called ordinary time. And as we have already learned, during these Sundays and weekdays in ordinary time, we have the opportunity to read about, to reflect on, and to realize the so-called mysteries of light. His baptism at the Jordan, his self-revelation at Cana, his proclamation of the kingdom, his transfiguration, and the institution of the Eucharist. Therefore, within this Sunday and weekdays, we continue to meditate on the third mystery of light, Christ's proclamation of the kingdom of heaven on earth, which is identified with the church. And we have already learned that our Lord Jesus, good teacher that He was and is for all of us, He uses parables. Parables are made up stories with details familiar, easily understood by His listeners, because Jesus has said, precisely, I teach the crowds with parables because they do not understand. If I teach them mysteries like I am the bread of life, I am the resurrection and life, I am the way, the truth, and the life, they would not understand that life, because the only life that they understand would be the family life, marriage and family, the field, the planting and the harvesting in the field, or the fishing net, the fishing at the sea. These are the buying and selling. So I repeat, the parables of Jesus, He never explained any of them. It was Matthew who later on, remember, Matthew wrote about 30 years after Jesus had ascended up to heaven. And so Matthew had already allegorized the story made up by Jesus originally. So we stick to the original parable and not to the allegorization by Matthew. Anyway, so this is it. But before we read the parable as recorded by Matthew only in his chapter 13, only in 3 verses, 44, 45, and 46. So, let us pray. Almighty Father, send your Holy Spirit upon us, that we may read your word with faith, reflect on it with hope, and realize with love, following the example of your only begotten Son, from whom we find freedom, fulfillment, and the future with you forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so now we open our Bibles or listen to the reading of Matthew 13, verses 44 to 46.
Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. And when he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it."
We therefore focus our study on these 3 verses. That was the long version of the gospel, but I am taking the short form and focus on these 2 parables. The parables of Jesus are called kingdom parables because they describe who are the men and women that believe in the kingdom, that belong to the kingdom, and that are behaving within the kingdom with the virtues and values that they hold and uphold. So that is our main point. How therefore, what lesson therefore do we learn from these 2 parables as subjects of the kingdom of heaven on earth, as members of the church, especially the militant church on earth? This is what we try to find out, especially if we refer also to what Saint Mark has written about how Jesus feeds the hungry 1,000 men and women and children, and in Saint Luke how Jesus answered the question of the apostles, "Lord, teach us how to pray." So this is all about how. How did Jesus try to mean when he told, and I would like to remind you that whenever we tell the parables now, all the verbs are present. No past tense nor future tense, but present tense. How therefore does the farmer, possess finally the treasure? And how does the merchant, I call him woman, how does she eventually, finally own the pearl? It's how. You see, we may not be able to say what Jesus said or to do what Jesus did, but we can certainly understand how he has said this or has done that. So here we are. First, the parable of the hidden treasure. The point here is, as I would like to drive it home, what process has this farmer to go through to finally own the treasure? Let us again read the parable. That there was this man, no name, no address. He digs deep into the earth. For what reason, we do not know. But he digs and digs and digs deep into the field and finally finds a treasure. You must have already learned that in Palestine, a country afflicted with wars here and there, the rich people would deposit their treasure deep, deep into the earth. The earth was their safe deposit box. And so this man, for what reason, we really do not know, but he was digging. He must be digging deep, deep into the field, because the treasures were also hidden deep, deep into the earth. And he finds the treasure. He could have kept the treasure because finders are keepers, but no. He was so happy, he rejoices and hides the treasure back to the earth. And then with joy, he goes home. There at home, he gathered his possessions and he sells them, meaning he detaches himself from all his possessions in order to have money. And that money he uses precisely when he goes back to the field and buys not just the treasure, he buys the whole field, which therefore is not his field until this time. So here we see a long process. It was not instant. It was not effortless, no. So many efforts were exerted by the guy to finally own the treasure. Long process. The same with the merchant, which I call a woman, because I'd like to think that only women are interested in pearls. But she was looking and looking and looking for a pearl of great price. It must have been days or months when she eventually finds the pearl. Again, with joy, he leaves the pearl where it was in that store, and she goes home without it. She goes home. And then with joy, she sells all that she had. She detaches herself from all his possession, her possessions, so that with the money, he buys the pearl. Again, a long process. And the lesson precisely is, if we want to believe in the kingdom, we want to belong to the kingdom, we want to behave as kingdom men and women, it won't be easy. You have to do so many things, to exert so many efforts. After baptism, you have communion, first communion, then you have confirmation, then you have the other sacraments, confession, Eucharist, marriage, priesthood, etc. That's how Jesus was saying. That's what he meant. But with those parables, that his religion, Christianity, is not easy. Not only hard to enter through the narrow gate, but even as baptized persons, already the difficulty lies from the very beginning, because he says, if you want to be my disciples, you want to be subjects of my kingdom, members of my church, he says, you must deny yourself. You must carry your cross daily. You must follow me. And to follow him is not easy either. Remember those three guys who expressed their desire to follow him. One says, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. But Jesus says, remember, I have nowhere to lay my head, meaning my religion will not be easy. Another guy says, I'll follow you, Lord, but let me bury my mother, my father, and his father is not even sick yet, not even dead yet. He meant, therefore, just wait, Lord. But Jesus said, no, be living and preach the gospel. And the third guy says, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me say goodbye to my family. And Jesus said, no, if you want to follow me, don't look back. This is it. So, following Christ, imitating Christ, is not easy. It takes a long process. It takes a lot of efforts. There are not only 10 commandments, there are 7 sacraments, and there are 5 precepts of the church. No wonder some Catholics who cannot take this, they become born again because they have less obligations to fulfill. But we do have many, and we accept them because willingly we are entering into the kingdom of heaven on earth, into the church. Let us learn from what Saint Mark and other evangelists have narrated for us, the so-called multiplication of the loaves of bread. When Jesus, in that Bethsaida district, saw the large crowds who have been following him for maybe 3 days, and he saw them hungry, he could have feed them. He could have fed them instantly, at once, all by himself. He could have prayed to the Father, and the Father could have rained bread like they did in the Old Testament. manna rained down for them to eat. He could have done that, but no. Jesus went through a long process. He had to ask questions. Philip, you are from here, Bethsaida. Where can we buy bread? And Philip, the accountant, he said, Lord, even if we buy bread with 2,000 days' wages, it won't be enough. But Jesus said, what do you really have? Andrew says, there is a little boy here who has 5 loaves of bread and fish. And Jesus said, bring him to me. So Jesus, with the loaves of bread, he could have instantly made them many. But no, first he prays. He prays to the Father. Then he orders the disciples to let the people sit down on the grass in groups of 50 and 100. Remember, there were 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So Jesus multiplied the loaves of bread. He could have distributed them all by himself, but no, he gave the multiplied loaves of bread to the disciples, and the disciples distributed them to the crowds. Then everybody ate and were filled to their satisfaction. And Jesus did not stop there. Jesus said, okay, there are some fragments left here and there. You gather them. And there were the basket that the little boy had. Jesus also multiplied the baskets, because the small basket owned by that little boy has become weaker baskets. Weaker, kind of big baskets for the mangoes or bananas, etc. 12 of them, imagine, the one little basket has multiplied to 12 weaker baskets, so that each apostle would have one basket full of fragments. In other words, Jesus feeds the hungry. His work of mercy to feed the hungry was a long process in which he demands that the disciples and the hungry people participate in the so-called miracle of the multiplication of the loaves of bread. I repeat, he could have done it all by himself, but he somehow demands that the disciples and the people should participate, actively participate. And let us go to St. Luke. In St. Luke, the apostles ask our Lord, teach us how to pray, how to ask, because of the prayers Jesus observed that more prayers of petition than thanksgiving, than praise. And the apostles wanted to know how to ask, how to petition God. And again, Jesus could have said this. No, he said, thus. When you pray, pray thus. T-H-U-S, not T-H-I-S. So the Our Father is a how to pray. It's a how to petition, how to ask. That's why the gesture that we make when we pray the Our Father is like that. Asking, not like that, but Anna, like the asking. Now, Jesus has told a parable to stress the point that not only do we need a long process, we do not only need active participation, but persistence. So he tells the parable of a woman who was knocking on the door of a judge at night because she was very persistent and would not go away. The judge get out of his bed and gives her what she wants. But Jesus says, be persistent, therefore. How? He says, ask, 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 until God wills to give you what you need. He says, seek, 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 until God lets you find where it is. And thirdly, he says, knock, knock, knock on the door until God wills to when to open it. So there you have persistence in asking, in seeking, and in knocking. But that's what precisely we pray in the Our Father. Our Father, may your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. That is what is meant. So there you are. Jesus, with the three Gospels, ABC, is teaching us that within the church, within the kingdom, we have to go through a long process. It's not easy. You have to actively participate. And we have, finally, to be persistent, patient, persevering, and persistent. But as I have said, these three P's, process, participation, persistence, these three P's need the fourth P's, the fourth P, which is practice. I repeat, process, participation, persistence, practice. And I have quoted a saying, it is not what you read, but what you remember that makes us learned. Not what we profess, but what we practice that makes us Christians. So I have said enough on this, and so I say, Monsignor Takay here, over and out. Formulate now your questions or your reflections.
And now, words from our sponsor. If you're a current podcaster or plan to create your own podcast soon, I want to share with you the tool that I use to help me monetize my podcast. It's called Podmetrics. Podmetrics is a platform that allows you to have full control of how you monetize your podcast. You can collab with brands and choose between the many merchants that fit your podcast's audience. It also gives you tips and samples on how to execute your ads properly to maximize your earning potential. Plus, you can track how many of your listeners you were able to convert and know how much you've earned in real time. Cashing out is also a breeze. So if you're a podcaster, make sure you sign up by clicking the link in the description box of this episode and use the referral code 500YOCCebu so you can monetize your podcast too. Thank you, Podmetrics. And now, back to our podcast.
Hello, Mons.
Hello.
Thank you for reminding us that we have to actively participate with the three P's for our faith. Lisod jud baya jud to keep the faith usahay, but that's why our faith in Jesus is as precious as pearl.
That's right. If we go to church when we hear Mass, we have to practice this. It may be a long process, the Mass, but then actively participate in it. And that's what liturgy means. Liturgy comes from two Greek words, latos and lykon. Latos means public, and ergon is work. So public at work, that's what liturgy is. And be persistent in your prayers, constant and consistent.
Good morning, Mons.
Good morning.
Thank you for emphasizing the importance of process, participation, persistence, and practice. Very easy to remember the four P's. I hope that I can actively do this in my life.
Just remember, and remember.
Another question, Mons.
Yes.
How do I make my kids be interested in the Mass? I bring them to Sunday Mass all the time, pero dili excited usahay.
Yeah. You see, in other countries, when parents go to church with their children, the children are gathered in a separate place where they have also Mass, but the Gospel is explained in very children's way. In other words, they have a daycare center for the kids while the adults are attending Mass. Here in the Philippines, we cannot do that, because our children always love to be with their parents and their parents with their children wherever they go. And so we just have to be patient with our children. We just have to make them stay put, sit down or kneel as much as they can. But you cannot control children. And children, therefore, may be brought to the church and be trained to behave. That's why the children that may not be controlled should also be the responsibility of parents to teach them how to behave in a sacred place like church.
Another question, Mons. Good morning, Mons.
Good morning.
I love your reflection that the process of holiness is long and difficult. It requires practice, persistence. so simple to understand and remember. Thank you, Mons.
Remember, the parables were very understandable by the listeners then and may be difficult for us to understand now. But precisely when we read and reflect on the parables, we must try to make them also easily understood now. I remember there was a priest who found it difficult to explain the parable, so much so that his sermon was less understandable or more difficult to understand than the parable. And he says, sometimes I am tempted to preach and then read the parable because the parable is clearer than my sermon. Instead of explaining the parable, some make it more difficult to understand. It is now our duty and our salvation precisely to explain the parables, study it under different angles, study it under different aspects for different applications.
Hi, Mons.
Hi.
Ang faith murag sports. When we do not practice, do not have patience, and are not persistent, we do not build the muscles needed for the sports. Same with faith. If we do no exercise our muscles for faith and doing works of mercy, we become stagnant and have muscles lost. Salamat, Mons.
Remember, huh? To make perfect, you must practice perfectly, because perfect practice only can make you perfect. But imperfect practice, wrong practices, cannot at all make you a Christian, patient, humble, etc. If you play tennis in practice, it must be the correct stroke, how to serve, how to catch the ball perfectly, because imperfect practices will not make you perfect. So, very soon, the month of July will come to pass, and the month of August will come in, will set in. The month of August, remember, is called the lean month. Pagbitay sa mga iro, no harvest, etc. So let us see how we can spend August next week with the 18th Sunday in ordinary time. So I have said enough, but there is one more question.
Hello, Mons.
Hello.
Jesus comes alive in your reflection. Thank you for explaining well the parables. We can vividly imagine the scenario and Jesus' intention. Salamat kaayo.
Thank you too for reflecting that way.
Thank you for today's reflection. Ever since I was your theology student in STC, your teachings are consistent, rich, and insightful. God bless you always, Mons.
Bless you too. We are trying our best to be simple in our explanations. What's the use of using highfalutin words if your listeners not only do not listen but cannot learn anything from it? So I have said enough. So this is Monsignor. Over and out. And so we pray for the final blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all and see you next Friday, God willing.
Wow, that was an amazing talk given by Monsignor Achilles Dakai. We are so grateful for the Lord for sending Monsignor Dakai to share God's word to all of us. We would like to thank again Monsignor Achilles Dakai, and also to our heartfelt gratitude goes to all of you who joined, interacted, and asked a question for Monsignor Dakai. Hear more from Monsignor Dakai again next weekend. This is once again the Gifted to Give podcast for your ears only. I am Brother Gian signing off. Have a blessed Sunday to all, and to God be the glory.
You have just listened to the Gifted to Give podcast with your host, Brother Gian, Brother John, and Father Jojo. Catch our next episode. This episode of the Gifted to Give podcast was brought to you by our sponsors. Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show, head over to our Facebook page at 500 Years of Christianity, Archdiocese of Cebu. If you love the Gifted to Give podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review everywhere you listen to your podcast. Till next time.